The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beast, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of our Lord. Good morning. First, I need to begin with a thank you. Thank you, Pastor Paul and Emily, for the invitation to be here. And thank you for your partnership in this synod and in the gospel ministry. Your mission support makes days like today possible. We have over 70 candidates preparing for ministry. Scholarships make that possible, and your generous giving gives days like this and stories like Emily's and many others possible. Your synod is grateful for you, and thank you on behalf of Bishop Tim Smith and our entire staff. And I have to tell you, you got a good one. You got a good one. And you got some smart kids, too. Please pray with me. Let the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the Gospel of Mark is on a mission. The story is short and sweet. There is no wild John the Baptist. Unlike Matthew, there are no locusts, there's no honey, and no camel's hair. There is no hesitation by John the Baptist about his unworthiness. Just three verses to tell us of the story of this baptism and to hear the words we all yearn for: "With you I am well pleased." We hear only two verses about the temptation. Luke gives us 13 verses to explain that, but Mark keeps it simple. Mark is in a hurry to tell about the ministry of Jesus. Mark actually uses the word "immediately" 28 times in only 16 chapters. This first chapter speeds us into ministry. Mark makes me think of the story like this. Let's get to the good stuff, because this changes everything. I'm reading a book by Todd Bolsinger, who is president of Fuller Seminary in Pasadena. It's called "Canoeing the Mountains: Christian Leadership in Uncharted Territory." He tells the story of Lewis and Clark on their journey to find a water passage to the Pacific. I don't know a whole lot about Lewis and Clark. I do know their names go together, but I've forgotten quite a bit of the details. Here's the thing. All they knew about this brave new world was the part of it that was east of the Missouri River. They came to the source of the Missouri, crested the mountain, and expected to float their way down that mountain into the Pacific. Not happening. Mountains as far as the eyes could see, some of them topped with snow, but huge mountains that didn't even compare to what they knew before they topped that mountain. What they knew was in the past. What they saw was uncharted, literally uncharted territory, and nothing like they expected. So they had a few options. They could keep moving forward on their journey. They could hang out where they were and settle in for a spell. Or they could turn around and go home. They moved forward toward those awful mountains with the wrong tools for the journey. Their canoes weren't going to cut it. Their choice to move forward changed everything. The ELCA youth gathering this summer is going to focus on this theme: this changes everything. Our primary scripture is from Ephesians, a very Lutheran text: "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God. This changes everything. And when we look at our text from Mark, we have to think that for the writer of Mark, Jesus changed everything. And he was in a hurry to write things down and to spread the story. If you think of the biblical witness up to this point, we'll call them the three E's: the Exodus, the exile, and now Emmanuel. All that the Jewish community knew up to this point was changing. The old was passing away, and that meant change. Now, I don't know about you, Chantal, but in the Lutheran church, change is kind of an ugly word, but I am convinced that change isn't a bad word. People don't hate change, and I can prove it. If you were to win the lottery this week, whenever it is drawn, that would change your world. We can deal with change and might be excited by that, but what we have trouble with is loss. Our fear of loss leads to hesitation and sometimes downright stubbornness about change. For the writer of Mark, this change was significant, but it is good news. Mark is the only gospel to proclaim the good news in the very first verse of the very first chapter. Mark kept the main thing, the main thing. And the main thing is Jesus. The main thing is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, because this changes everything. Hear these words from the 11th chapter. A voice came from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." I think this lies at the heart of what we all yearn for, to belong. There is a sense of that belonging when we gather in this place for worship. A feeling of belonging and of knowing that even when we are not our best selves, we belong to God. We are claimed just as Jesus in the waters of baptism. We are loved even in our darkest hours, even when we cannot claim to hear that voice from heaven. We are beloved. The problem is that we have a hard time believing it. If we were to boil down the good news into as few words as possible, like Mark, we would stick with these two sentences from the 12th chapter. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Houston, we have a problem. To believe in the good news as we are instructed to do, we have to put God first. Not ourselves, not things, not money, but not others, but God. To know that the kingdom of God has come near, we must repent of our selfish ways and believe. We must change. Just as the Jewish people were forced to confront a world with this Jesus, we are forced to confront a world with this Jesus. A world that no longer centers on the church. A world where Sundays are no longer sacred. And competing demands on our time make it hard to engage in community. This is our new uncharted territory. And as a Christian, we are called to repent and believe in the good news. That task is for everyone, not just your called leaders here at Augsburg. Because today we celebrate that Emily's role here is new. There's a change coming. As Director of Student and Social Ministry, she had certain responsibilities around faith formation and service. As Vicar Emily, or Vicarly, as I've heard the youth are starting to call her, she will expand her ministries to worship and other things, and all those other things as assigned by Pastor Paul. The fine print. In this new uncharted time, it's good for everyone to remember to keep it simple, just as Mark did. Focus on the ministry of Jesus. Spend time in prayer. Welcome the stranger. Worship. And when the time is right, stir it up a little bit. Jesus didn't come to make folks comfortable. His radical ministry, his radical life, death, and resurrection changed the world. His radical welcoming made folks nervous and uncomfortable. The Jewish leaders had their understanding of their world shaken by this Son of God. We have the capacity to shake this world because we are called to love like Jesus. And that love changes everything. Augsburg, you are about to canoe the mountains. You have a new pastor and a new vicar. What you knew before is behind you. As you crest the mountains and see the Rockies before you, remember you have a choice: to turn around and hope for a world that no longer exists, to stay put and just hang out, or to set your sights on a world that needs you, a world that desperately needs your voice of grace, your touch of healing, your hand in welcome, and your feet in accompaniment. As we begin this Lenten journey, we walk together and we start from a place of dust. From ashes, we can begin anew because the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe. May we use this Lenten season to focus our attention on the simple things. How did Jesus serve? How did Jesus pray? How did Jesus welcome the stranger? Repent and believe the good news, because this changes everything. Amen.